episode 103 of Drunk on Comics. And for you guys keeping track at home, yes, we did take last week off, so don't start getting all ninny-winny of, oh my god, this should be episode 104, or you're not on the right time frame of weeks per year, per months, and all that hoopla.
No, I disagree. I want those fuckers to get on their shit about that. I think that would be fun.
We need
more trolls, man. that's what the show lacks in our Vine feed and our Instagram. We're missing the trolls.
I don't know. Like, I get it. Well, because I have to moderate all these comments that come in on the website because it's WordPress.
Cheap Viagra.
Well, you moderate them?
Yeah, it's nothing but spam.
Oh.
Nothing but, like, okay.
So we'd be happy to have a real troll, someone who's actually doing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sell us something that we like, at least.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, just, like, go on there, you guys suck, you know, freenikeshoes.com. You know what? Like, that would be fine. So, all right. Well, welcome, everyone, to Drunk on Comics.
Dude, what the hell do we do to their show? It's been so long.
Yeah, it is very, very odd having taken a week off.
Well, fuck, everything's different now.
You guys took a fucking week off. I had to still put all those interviews together, which Everyone should go check those out. We have three different episodes of interviews from Motor City Comic Con.
Yeah, actually, did Tony, have you listened to An Elegant Weapon's most recent release?
No, I have not.
It has our After Dark special. With you, me, and Jay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Incredibly wasted and just laughing like little girls at him because it was awesome Canadian accent.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You guys are the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's so bad about saying a boot? And stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
And Todd McFarlane.
Catch him in the fast lane.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, if you guys, if any of our listeners want to hear Tony and I incredibly shithoused, go over to An Elegant Weapon. And actually, he's got a new website, too. It's anelegantweapon.ca.
Oh, he got it? Good. Good for him, man. But, yeah, definitely, I mean, hey, how can you listen to those podcasts, guys? I don't quite remember.
Well, just like us, you can download them directly from his website. You can also listen to them on...
I don't care about his. What about ours?
iTunes and Stitcher.
iTunes and Stitcher. I think he's on Stitcher, too. I know we are.
Hmm. That's very convenient for me having an Android platform. Thank you.
The Stitcher? Sure is. Yeah. All right.
Let's get to Off the Shelf.
Yeah.
Because it's been forever. We might forget some segments.
I'm going to forget a lot. I killed so many fucking brain cells this weekend, so.
Yeah. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I know.
That was one of the things that's new and different.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you keep making up that you're 40. We all know you're older than that, like 140, but.
Yeah, well,
you dropped the one there.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. At some point, you got to quit counting, so I guess I'll quit counting at 40. You know, just keep repeating it. Who wants to start?
Not it.
Nah. All right, Matt.
Oh, you've been so quiet there, Matt. Oh,
all right. The only reason I didn't want to start is because I'm still debating. So I think what I'm going to do is just really briefly talk about Inhuman from Marvel Comics, written by Charles Soule. Joe Madd did the art on this. Marty Garcia did the colors, and Clayton Cowles did the letters, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is I'm kind of surprised. I didn't expect to like Inhumans as much as I am. You know, Tony, you read this one.
Yep.
And you've always been big on the Inhumans, but this has been, I think the first issue was a great intro for somebody like me who doesn't really know a ton about the Inhumans or doesn't really know much at all.
I'm sorry, what issue is this?
Two.
Okay.
Sorry.
So it comes after the first one.
Jury's out on that.
Yeah, well, it depends.
Actually, there probably were some point ones and shit. So.
It really depends on how Marvel's numbering their shit these days. But a quick touch on the art. Joe Madd is fantastic, fantastic artist. Although I got to admit, I'm really looking forward to seeing Ryan Stegman come over on this book because
when does that
issue
start?
Four?
Okay,
is when
I knew
he
it was
starts.
Soon.
Yeah, but yeah, this is. this book, though, has actually really drawn me in. I like the look and the feel of it, you know, with what's going on here. And they're very unique characters in here, which I think is kind of one of the nice appeals, is there are characters that are at least new to me. But Charles Soule has done a really, really nice job, I think, just being able to write some intriguing dialogue that helps move the story along, introduces these other characters.
Oh, there are a lot of new characters from liking, they have a rich history, a rich lore, just like as you knowing X-Men history and everything, you don't want to see that get thrown out. He's introducing some new stuff that has not been in there, like these
for my familiarity with Inhumans is the old stuff, and it was a big world, but they only focused on like 6 or 7 of the characters, like Medusa and Black Bolt and
the dog
Lockjaw.
Yeah, yeah,
which is an awesome name.
Yeah,
that's a better dog name than Randy. A friend at the bar last night was like, "I want to name a dog Randy." And that's stupid, dumb. All right, so good. Carry on.
Yeah, the one thing that I found interesting in the book is that there's a couple silhouette scenes in here where you can clearly see the marker lines in it. And I don't know if that is there intentionally as a style thing that was put in for the colors or if it wasn't colored over. I'm really curious about that. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't see the book. I didn't read it. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's very pretty.
But yeah, I don't know if that was, if that's an intentional thing or not. I'm curious. So, but yeah, the other thing I do want to say, there's a fight scene in here where Medusa and Cap kind of team up and, they're beating the shit out of guys from AIM. And I tell you what, Medusa, she kind of kicks ass. I was surprised. I didn't know that.
You know, hair is so strong.
Yeah, that she could pull a fucking ship out of the air with her hair and slam it to the ground. You know, that was that was pretty impressive. So, I just wonder like if she can do the same thing with her armpit hair.
You know what? I don't remember, but I think there was a joke one time of if she could do that with all of her hair before. But I mean, she has large hair.
So. Yeah. But yeah, so
the history of Inhumans is so deep and long. I'm sure there have been several jokes about that.
Yeah, but anyway, if you guys are looking for something new, I would recommend picking up Inhuman. I think issue 1 actually got reprinted, so you should be able to find it.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah, this was...
Well, just even her motivation for this all, when they go to get that one piece of their city that was scattered around New York, and they were fighting, was it, that was AIM.
AIM.
Yeah, AIM people. Captain America goes, you know, you lost one of yours for this. This must be really important. She goes, does nothing. It's broken. It'll never be fixed, but it's part of Attilan. That's us. And it's kind of like, wow, that's deep. This is who they are, and they want to have that culture back.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I mean, I think Charles Soule is doing a great job with, you know, really evoking emotion out of these superhero characters. That's not easy to do. You know, I mean, I think superheroes are probably one of the hardest things to actually write where people have a real attachment to them and actually feel for them because they're shiny, pretty things that sit on a shelf for most, you know, most situations. But he's actually giving depth, and I think it speaks volumes of his work. So, anyway, that wraps it up. At least for that.
All right.
For now.
All right. For now. Well, for now, I want to talk about, and I kid you not, it is probably one of the best books I've read all year. Thanos Annual.
All right, you're gonna have to sell me, man, because you've already said a naughty word.
What? Annual.
Annual.
Annuals are not necessarily bad. They
I rag on annuals, but...
And I do, too, sometimes when it's just like, that was really filler. But sometimes that's all it really needs to be, is just kind of a standalone story, a one-shot. The best annuals are the ones that take the current story, can kind of do it a side alone so for people can just pick it up and kind of get that standalone story in it of itself, but continue on into other books. This one did that in a couple places, which I'll get to later. This was written by the, I don't want to say legendary because I say that almost with everyone I like, but Jim Starlin.
Here's the custodian, the legendary.
Jim Starlin came back to Marvel to write this. He is the creator of Thanos, and I'm looking forward to what he's doing with the offshoot coming from this in the future. Penciler Ron Lim, inker Andy Smith, and colorist Val Staples. Now, the art is very reminiscent of old school Infinity Gems, Infinity Crusade, Infinity.
Well, I tell you, the cover. Instantly, I saw that cover, and I'm like, "Wow, that's the exact art that I thought of when I thought Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet."
Tony, who did the cover on that? Speaking of the like the art,
Ron Lim did it, as well as variant cover artist here. Jim Starlin did it, so pretty much the same people that were worked on the inside of the book.
Okay,
so, but I mean, the art's amazing, and the story's just great as well.
I guess my only real question, though, is, you know, we've joked that it's not really an annual because it's not an ongoing series.
But it is an ongoing series.
No, it's not.
It's Thanos. It's an ongoing series?
Oh. Yeah, well, it will grow on you. It's Thanos, the series. He had Thanos Uprising last year, and continuing on from there.
So Uprising was more of an engorging series than an ongoing.
It was the appetizer of the series, but
appetizer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But so, honestly, though, you can't have a character like Thanos have an ongoing series coming out monthly because he's too epic in scale and within the universe to really have following him around all the time.
But if you can't have an ongoing series, you can't have an annual.
But just,
just call it a fucking lunch. That was a mini series.
True, but just like how Carnage has had his many miniseries, they kind of thrown out some annuals just to kind of draw readers in.
They do it with Carnage, too?
Yeah, Carnage had an annual, and he's had, what, Minimum Carnage, Maximum Carnage? Well, no, Maximum Carnage was a long time ago.
Was there a Minimum Carnage?
Yes.
Yeah, it was when he went to the Minimums. What's that place called?
Tiny Town?
Yeah, Toontown. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
and right now, Carnage versus Deadpool.
So wait, was it the Microverse?
Yeah, Microverse. Okay. That's it. So anyways, just get over the fact that it is an annual. What it does, it's more than a one-shot, though. It sets up some tales that are going to be coming out, such as, spoiler alert, the next Thanos book is Thanos, the Infinity Revelation.
Is that really a spoiler?
Well, I don't know. It sets it up for what might be. This book, though, straight up explains most of everything that's happened within Thanos's rise to power, Infinity Gems, some things that happen, and it does it in a great way, which Marvel loves to use, time travel. So you have a future Thanos come back to a past Thanos.
That seems like an element that they're using a little too much.
Very much so. But they've also been touching on it a lot in all the books, and then kind of saying how time is kind of breaking down. Well, no wonder. You guys keep fucking using it in all your books and then start saying, but time, for some reason, is going to stop. When the hell is it going to stop? I have no clue.
No, the question is, when is Marvel going to stop fucking with time?
Only time will tell.
Wow.
If they can make it work, go for it. It just seems like a gimmick that they're just reaching to too often. But
true. But within this book, it worked well as a time-telling device. Like, this was so well written, as I said before, probably one of the best books I have read as far as explaining to people what happened. If you already know the stories, giving a little bit of a twist of how he's talking to his past self, him knowing full well that it's a moot point anyways. He's kind of just doing this. This future self is doing this out of curiosity to see what happened in the past. But the past self's going to get his mind erased from everything, because then that would stop things that could be happening that already need to be set in place for the future self to have the Infinity Gauntlet. Just like how Thanos always is, he's seeing this future self with the Infinity Gauntlet. He tries to take it from him. Same Mad Titan Thanos. Where we get, though, is a very, very epic page, which is towards the end, that kind of shows his scheme in the universe. It shows, do you know what I'm talking about? Some of the cosmic entities such as
Eternity
and
Galactus.
Well, Galactus is up there. The Inbetweener, Chaos and Order, Living Guy Tribunal
coming out of his ears.
Yep, we have Odin and Thor, and when future Thanos is kind of telling past Thanos, well, what does this all mean? Well, you are always going to be coming back. You are a balancing order within this universe, and through that, you're kind of somewhere in the middle of this whole hierarchy of gods within the gods, celestials, and all these creatures. And it's the last page when you see this future Thanos kind of wanting to see a glimpse farther into the future, and pretty much the Living Tribunal, who is the powerful of any entity within the Marvel Universe, kind of like, nope, you can't. And Thanos is like, why not? And what you see is, let the heavens take note and beware, for universal transmutation has begun. This is one of the things that has been talked about a lot within the Marvel Universe, going back to this whole time stream shit. I think it's actually going to start happening within the new Thanos book, which I can't wait till that comes out. So I very highly suggest everyone go out and pick this up. Best annual you'll ever have. It will satisfy you deeply.
That's definitely a tall order. So, all
right. Gentlemen, I'm gonna. This is kind of like a little teaser for Indie Turnpike, sort of. Actually, I wrote something up. I thought it was appropriate for like intro to this. So, midday in a studio without much professionalism. Three dorks with hangovers travel down the highways and byways of comic book goodness, which we inevitably will lead us to the Twilight Zone. Yes, my friends, it's good to be back in the saddle.
And I'm still reeling from that intro. Yeah. Hold on.
So what's in my saddlebags this week, guys? Deadpool 29. Twilight Zone number 5. From Dynamite.
It makes me so happy you picked up Deadpool.
Honestly, I've only picked it up because it was part of the original Sin tie-in. I don't have much into Deadpool, so...
You could have just said, yes, I picked it up. Now you're breaking my heart.
I'll break your heart more about that later. Actually, no, I enjoy it, but I haven't read a whole lot of it, so I was a little all over the place. Twilight Zone, number 5,
yeah.
By the way. We've got... it's written by... J. Michael Straczynski, pictures by Guiu Villanova, and colors by Derek...
Vinicius Andrade.
Thank you.
Letters by Rob Steen. That's the hard one.
I wasn't even going to chance that one either.
Although I do want to give mention on this, too, because the covers by Francesco Francavilla, I fucking love that guy.
But, yeah, you know, I really do enjoy the cover on this one, but so to be honest with you, I've never really watched the Twilight Zone growing up. Never saw the movie. Didn't watch it when I was a teen or in my adult life, and actually only started watching it recently because my wife watches the shit out of this show.
It's really?
Like, yeah,
all she watches us record this.
Not this show.
Oh, the other show.
The other show.
No, the show within the show. Better show. Sorry, Drunken Comics.
Again.
No, my entire previous experience with the Twilight Zone is, seriously, from the pinball machine.
Wow. Okay.
So I know everything about the epic episodes based upon the pinball machine, from, like, Gumballs to the camera to the spiral, the hitchhiker. It's all from the pinball machine, which is a great machine. If you've never played it, go find it. Made in 92 by Williams, I think, Bailey. Anyway.
That's the most, like, pinball knowledge I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that... okay, anyway.
I think it was 92 anyway. So, now, listeners, I'm going to respect your intelligence, and I'm not going to bother to do a recap what the hell the Twilight Zone is, because if you don't know... what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So we have a new story arc in this series, by in this relatively new series, obviously number 5 from Dynamite. Now, this arc is centered around a middle-aged woman in Brooklyn who's struggling with sleep issues and money problems. You know, common issues that, you know, we guys can relate to, except for the woman part. So, now, the spark that now gets you into the zone, and I don't really think this is a spoiler, she's acquired an object that lets her read minds of others and predicts the future, sort of. The best part is that she doesn't know what's that this object she's acquired and what's happening to her are related too much. And it's kind of like this, the object that she's acquired also gives her like this whole Mel Gibson thing going on.
You know, Mel Gibson, like she curses at people?
No.
calls him
rages out with anti-Semitic remarks. No. You guys, you remember the movie What Women Want?
Oh, where he could read the minds?
Yes. Did you ever know that movie? My wife watched that movie once. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that. But then again, I'm single, so I don't have to watch that kind of shit.
Dude, man, you need to see a rom-com every once in a while.
Yeah, I suppose. I want to touch on something on the story here.
Okay.
This is something that I was curious about. This object that she receives, mm-hmm. does it give her the powers or does it enhance them? Because she's having these clairvoyant dreams at the beginning of the book.
Yeah, you know, that's it. It's a good point. I honestly didn't tie the two together. I just figured she was just having fucked up dreams.
Watch that be the twist in the next book, and you just ruined it for everyone.
Well, I can't help that I'm really smart. You know,
it's smart.
Yeah, he's awful ignorant, ain't we?
possibly, man, and that's you're definitely a lot more intelligent than I am when it comes to that. You've probably connected the dots for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna shake your hand.
Yay! Yeah.
Handshake on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. It's useless.
my handshake was useless.
Yeah,
asshole. So,
anyway, Kevin, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So here's what I'm digging in this book. It's nice art, plenty of detail, like. Little things like when you see the movement lines, you know, like to indicate speed or actions. There's a few of those in this book, and just those little details just tickle my fancy. Now, the woman here, Diana, is shown in so many different ways. When I'm talking about the details in her face, the like looks of surprise, and desperation, excitement, and all that stuff is well done. And, so another thing I really like is really, I'm going to leave this spoiler free, is actually the last page. The art on the last page, I thought it was really well done with the amount of detail, colors. It was a full package on the last page. Now, speaking of that last page, wow. Because I'm just reading, enjoying the story. And then, bam!
Boom.
Bam! The fucking story just ends. And I wasn't expecting I would say it's almost a twist. No, I don't know. It's just an unexpected ending. And it's always a good book when you're like, what the fuck just happened? And you have to go back like 2-3 pages to make sure you didn't miss anything. And what the transition between the last page and the few pages was just so subtle to me, I didn't really pick up onto it until I reread it. And that's always a good book for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Something I read and I'm on the verge of liking or I really like, I'll reread it again, make sure I didn't miss anything. And this definitely was here. You were about to say something, Derek?
Yeah, you read the first 4 issues.
You know, honestly, I read the first 3. I don't remember if I read the 4. Life happened around my home this weekend, so I wanted to. I read this, and I'm like, "Fuck, did I read 4?" And I haven't gone through my inventory to look to see. Yeah. So that might be something else that you might have to pick up for me this week.
Yeah, no, it's well, excuse me. The reason I asked, the thing that I liked about this is because I'm like, how are you going to have an ongoing Twilight Zone book? And
by having annuals, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got to throw those
just,
in there.
Just random annuals that don't really, you know. But no, then this couldn't be actually ongoing if it had an annual like Thanos. But no, I'm like, okay, how do they do this? And originally I was like, okay, well, it'll be one maybe two issues per story. You know, they did a four-issue story arc in the last
story. Which it needed to be that, because I think two would have just been... The story, I think, would have fallen flat. Four was a good number.
Yeah. Well, and originally when I was reading, I was like, yeah, like this should be shorter.
Like the first issue?
Well, when I read the first issue, I'm like, this is a lot of setup. I'm like, I wanted something kind of more quick and like to the point and just wrap it all together.
You wanted toilet material?
More or less. But you know what? At the end of the four-issue story arc, I'm really glad I didn't get what I wanted because it was a lot better.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely.
But the thing that I like, I'm like, well, how are you just going to do this? Is it just going to be four issues, start over, four issues, start over? You know, and with the numbering, the thing I liked is the fact that you have...
Oh,
references.
Oh, sure, yeah, man.
To the previous story arc with characters.
Well, yeah, you definitely. There's one subtle one, and then there's one big time connection, which happens real quick, but it's very important to the story.
Yeah,
and I fucking love that there is this tie in to the others, the other issues, and it's not like it's so tied in that you're going to be lost with issue five here. And the story arc, if you did not read the first four, this is definitely a great jumping on point for anyone who wants to be introduced into the zone.
But where will it end? When will they reach their outer limits?
they're not going to reach the outer limits.
That's another show I never watched either, the outer Limits.
Speaking of old weird shows, and this has nothing to do with anything except for the fact that I killed... so much of my thinking ability this weekend that I'm bringing this up.
And because you're old?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys ever see Friday the 13th, the TV series?
I know of the show. I never watched it. I never watched it. It was on so... In where I lived, it was on so late. There was a conflict between that, which I chose not to watch, and I honestly got these two programs... Star Trek Next Generation, and the GLOW. Remember? Do you guys remember GLOW at all? GLOW Wrestling? The Gorgeous Ladies Wrestling?
Oh, my good lord. They weren't gorgeous either.
Wait, there was a blonde that was smoking. The rest were...
Yeah. No, but no, Friday the 13th, the TV series, it was like this old guy and like then like this younger... guy and girl, the redheaded chick was hot, and that's why I watched it. But they just tracked down, like, possessed articles and items. Had nothing to do with Friday the 13th at all. At all. So, anyway. And that has nothing to do at all with what we're doing here at Drunk on Comics, so I'll shut the fuck up now.
So, all right. A couple more points, and then we'll wrap it up. I think Diana... is very well written. Everything. She's just very real. I mean, she's just a down to earth character. Just everything, her daily druthings, her interactions with her husband. I think it's spot on. Again, very. I think she's very relatable. I really like. I think the readers will enjoy the kind of the snarky comments that she's picking up from the people that she's around when she's in possession of this object. And I'm guessing right about now, I'm channeling in my Diana. And Derek, I'm picking up nothing from you. You're too brain dead. And Tony, I'm picking up from you.
There's
this segment needs to end now.
Holy shit!
I know, man. I'm so fucking Twilight Zone. I love this shit. Yeah. I need to pick it up.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it is. I when I read about this coming out in the comic book shop news, I was immediately hooked.
I'm glad you're reading it too, because it's definitely one that I've been enjoying.
Something we need to quick touch on. It's a segment that we came up before.
Just don't touch on it there. That's a bad touch.
Bad
Tony.
Touch. Is the events that are going around different publishers, and just kind of briefly mentioning them, since we pick up a lot of books and we don't have time to necessarily review all the books within those events. What are we going to call it, what we talked about calling it, or?
Yeah, I thought we decided that.
Okay, well, I don't remember. I was just making sure. So
the segment with no name?
Yes. Seasonal Brews. So that's what we're going to run with. So whenever
unless somebody else has a better suggestion, then we'll fucking change it.
Yeah, we're open to suggestions. But for right now, Seasonal Brews. And what we're going to quick touch on is how Forever Evil finally ended last week. Kevin, you read that, right?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think? It left you breathless. Yes, me too. Yes. I can't believe it.
It was really good. I was it was a great surprising.
Yeah, and from taking from
how did it end?
It ended with the good guys winning and the bad guys losing. But we have Superwoman still in tow with the child of Mazas, Alexander Luthor from the other world. Mm-hmm. We have Ultraman kind of crippled still on the main DC world. And we have Owlman out there somewhere trying to get Dick Grayson to be a sidekick again. So you have three of these people from this other universe.
But Dick Grayson's joining S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's the thing. So that's why Owlman's going to be hunting him down to try to get him to be a sidekick. You got those repercussions coming from it. You also see, which we've also seen in the solicitations of Lex Luthor joining one of the Justice Leagues. He kind of came out ahead on this and turned into a good guy. And not only that, you kind of found out that his ruthlessness that started Forever Evil kind of came back in tow where he let this kid keep the company that he pretty much murdered the father to take over.
Oh, he did. He did murder him.
Yeah. So you see that kind of change, but I think the biggest repercussion from that is Lex Luthor finally used his brain power and realized Bruce Wayne is Batman. That could, in some way, come back to bite the bat in the ass. But
I think actually where his intelligence really shined was is that if he could, he just redirects his intelligence in a different way to get what he wants is the love and the respect and the admiration of the people. And he did it in an aspect of good, and he's got that, and now he's drunk on that shit, and he wants more, and he wants to sustain that, but he's gonna have to probably run over a few people to get there. And definitely knowing who Batman is, that's gonna help in his cause, whatever that ends up being. Now, did you pick up Justice League 30?
No, I did not.
Which is, I believe, came out at the same time or the next week after Forever Evil 7 came out. Now, that's a series that everyone needs to subscribe to, put on their pull list. Justice League is so good, and it talks further about what's to come later down the road.
The new crisis that's going to happen, because that's what they love, naming all their events, crisis this, crisis that. So I think it's, I don't know, something.
Hey, they could call it poop in a bag, and I'll still pick it up and read it.
All right, switching gears quickly to Marvel, we have their event going on right now, Original Sin, where we found out the person who it seems like killed the Watcher, or at least has one of his eyeballs, is the Orb, which when they revealed it in Original Sin number 2 last week, it pretty much stated underneath his name, the Orb, a Z-list bad guy. Like, he is just a person with a giant eyeball for a head. And that in itself was...
So what does a giant eyeball do with another eyeball?
Don't know, but he's the one that's, you know, gung-ho on their secrets revealed in these eyes. He's trying to unlock them. That was kind of a big reveal, as in they let the bad guy out of the bag within the second issue, and it's a giant eyeball guy. Like,
well, is it really going to be him? as the bad guy.
There's probably going to be someone else pulling the strings.
Dude, of course it's going to be somebody else. It's too early for a reveal like that.
Who's writing Original Sin?
Well, it ties in with all the other ones. I don't have the number two.
Yeah.
But I think it's Jason Aaron is writing it. Is I could it? Be wrong. But I don't have that one.
Well, I see you got some of those tie-ins. How are those tie-ins?
The tie-ins are fitting pretty well.
Yeah,
as you picked up the Deadpool.
Yeah, I just picked up this Deadpool just because I was looking for something different to read. And
they're all kind of having revelations about what's going on. The Avengers one is kind of taken, once again, through the magic of time travel, going into the future where the Time Gem, which was in the new Avengers, I believe taken away and disappeared, now has come back, and they're kind of traversing through time through the Original Sin Avengers books right now. So there's not really much tie-ins. Well, I mean, it's tied in, per se. But, yeah, for the most part, Original Sin's kicking. I just more or less want to talk about the orb and just give brief update on what's going on. And well, Deadpool's got a daughter, so...
Oh. That actually works because it ties right into a little piece of news that I heard that I didn't bring up to you guys because it just didn't...
Surprise news?
Well, it just didn't seem like it was that big of a deal, but I saw something, and unfortunately I don't have the actual article here in front of me, that Avengers is going to jump ahead 8 months in time after Original Sin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean, though? Like a time...
I don't know.
Compared to comic books, you could just say it's... Now,
I guess that I don't know, and that's why I was like, I didn't think it was necessarily newsworthy because I didn't understand. Like, I'm just imagining, okay, you open it up, and on the first page, you have like a little snippet of the last issue, and then on the next page, you just go 8 months later.
Okay, yeah, what does that mean?
When are they going to do that? Do you think when's they going to hit newsstands
after Original Sin?
Okay.
At least that's what I saw. So anyway, yeah,
that's the least news thing news that I've ever heard of news.
That's why I didn't even send you the link because I'm like, yeah, it's not worth it. But now I wanted to bring it up because I'm stupid today, and I can get away with being stupid.
Well, some other news that's actually coming out. And speaking of Marvel Comics launches Savage Hulk.
Is this the official news and notes section?
Yes,
of our podcast.
We just kind of slid right into it. Without mentioning the name of it.
Nice.
Because we're talking about news.
Nice. And, yeah. I don't know. I'm partial to transitions.
Yeah. It was a good segue.
Alan Davis is launching Savage Hulk starting this June.
I'm actually excited about that. But I love Alan Davis. I mean, it just... What shocked me most is that it's not just that Alan Davis is doing that, but that he's drawing it, but he's writing it.
Well, one of the reasons why I want to start with this is going back to the best book ever, Thanos Annual. Within the pages of talking about some of these what-if scenarios happening or coming up, they kind of briefly talk about Annihilus and how he's somehow deeply involved within this new crisis that's going to be coming out of this Thanos revelations. And in it, you know, I love when they have the little asterisks within comic books to kind of give you a little bit of where you heard this from before.
Yeah.
It says, but that will be in December when Savage Hulk number 7 goes on sale. So from the Savage Hulk, they already have mentions of number 7 within this book, which will also tie into a big event later on through it with involving Thanos, so in Annihilus. So that's cool.
Yeah. I want to pop back to Savage Hulk because, Tony, did you see the cover that they showed?
Yes, they have some old school X-Men.
Yeah. It's Hulk fighting the original X-Men, like Marvel Girl, Cyclops, the Hairless Beast, and Angel. But then you also have Polaris and Havoc over there, which those are primarily 80s characters. What kind of time travel bullshit are they trying to do with this one, though?
They pop them back from the past, future?
Well, they're still around, but just they don't look like that. But, yeah, anyway, so that was... That was just a little thing I wanted to point out on that one. There was something else, though, speaking of Hulk and also Iron Man, was that who's Kieran Gillen, is writing Iron Man, and Mark Waid is writing Hulk right now. And I guess both of them are kind of ending their runs.
Yes, did it talk about the replacements coming out?
It doesn't. And that's actually okay with me. You know, they haven't mentioned who's going to be doing it yet, but there's going to be some things going on that will definitely be worth taking a peek at. But I just found it kind of cool that the two of them are actually doing their stuff together, you know, on there before they split. But I'm okay, you know, with Wade focusing more on Daredevil. I don't have a problem with that. So,
well, I will pretend to stop talking about Thanos after this next Thanos thing that I'm going to talk about, and then hopefully I'll be done, unless I find more news within the next couple minutes. Looks like Josh Brolin is allegedly going to be cast as Thanos within the movies, which I think that's a pretty good casting call in and of itself. You have an iconic person who has played, you know, a variety of roles, and I don't even think that he'll be basically, it'd probably be stop motion camera stuff, so it'd mainly be his dark voice, but
I don't know.
They could put a lot of cosmetic makeup and go for realness-ism.
Yeah.
They're just going to paint his face purple and just say, hang
on. Yeah. He's got the chin for it.
Yeah. No, you know, and it's cool. Like, I mean, I think this is, it's going to be a nice DC Marvel crossover where Jonah Hex plays Thanos. But speaking of other movies, Edgar Wright and Marvel are basically they had a little breakup, but it was amicable, and he's no longer going to be working on the Ant-Man movie.
So. Yes, that in and of itself is a little scary because he's been working on this thing since I believe 2005, 2006. So that's a long time to have someone who not only was going to direct it, who pretty much wrote the script, who pretty much kind of sold it to Marvel of, this is your next movie you want to make, having them greenlight it, and then something happened. And no one's really talking about what exactly happened, but rumors are drastic script changes, taken away from what Edgar Wright really wanted to do with the movie, and I feel it's, I'm still going to throw money at the movie theater screen and say, yeah, I'm going to go see it. But I think it could have been way better. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. We'll see. The one thing I did like, though, is that both Wright and Marvel both said, hey, look, we just had a difference of opinion on where things should be going, and we're happily parting ways, you know, and we're okay with it. That I thought was good, you know, because too often you see shit where it's like, he's such a diva, or that company's terrible, blah, blah. It's nice to see people actually be professional, even if there was shit in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not bringing it out to the forefront. Yeah. Another veteran within the comic book world, Paul Levitz, is leaving Earth 2 World's End Weekly.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of see, you know.
I didn't read the article, but who's replacing him?
I don't think it actually said.
Nope, it's just kind of talking about he's leaving to go work on other projects and ultimately decided that this just wasn't for him anymore. So another one of those.
They're just going
to
suspend Earth in the meanwhile.
Well, no, I mean Earth will. Well, actually, Earth 2 is kind of suspended anyway. It's in space. It floats out there. Yeah. Other DC news, Bob Wayne, who is, you know, senior vice president, is leaving DC. He's retiring. So that this man has done a shit ton of stuff for DC. He's worked there for almost 30 years. I think it was 28 years. And so congratulations on your retirement and, you know, Hope you get to sit back and enjoy whatever it is that you're going to do now. Cool. So,
hey, speaking of DC, man, did you hear what DC is going to not do for their employees anymore?
Pay them? In comics?
Well, they're not. Apparently, they were getting actual the editions of comics,
yeah,
the physical copies, but but no longer. Just a cost cutting measure. I mean, I understand, and also keep down clutter. I understand the move. At least you know they'll still be able to get their comics to them
digitally.
If I was a big hardcore collector, yeah, that would, and I worked there, I'd be kind of bummed. But
yeah,
I find it as that's a easy free perk for. I mean, it costs them near nothing, especially if they have extra runs of.
I'm sure the staff. It's just an office. So that's just me. That means you have to ship the shit there. You got to store it somewhere. It's not also with a studio where they're creating and marketing and doing everything for the comic book. It's also not a distribution warehouse too.
Well, if all
their facilities in one place, then okay, yeah, not really much saving costs. But I'm sure the facilities are separate.
Yeah, I don't know, because from what I understand, when it comes to printing, I mean, it's like they've already figured out their costs on how many books are going to print, and then it's you throw on these extra say 100 books on top of your print run. I mean, it's so small and minuscule in cost. I think my personal recommendation is DC, go, you know, give your people your comic books.
Well, let them enjoy these books that they may not otherwise actually go spend their paycheck on. I mean, I'm sure some of them do, but let them all kind of know what's going on within your world so that they can be on the Twitters and the social news.
I'm sure they're aware. Here's
another thing. We all read our own things. We don't pick up everything that's on the shelf.
Correct.
Okay. So,
but with our powers combined, we are a comic book store.
And Captain Planet.
Oh, okay. What does DC bring in? You like the Flash. You like the Superman. You don't like the Superman. You like Earth 2. What do you bring in? They have probably 50 titles that they make. You bring in everything?
You sure they don't have 52?
I'm pretty sure that is their magic number.
So what do you bring in? If you bring in everything, there's going to be waste.
Yeah, well, then have people, like, staff can create a pull list.
Oh, my God. Then you're going to need to hire someone to manage the pull list.
There you go. And then that person can have a pull list, too, because they'd be an employee. All right,
interns. Interns. That's what interns are for.
Yeah. Enough of this happy horse shit.
No, dude. Business. I could talk business all day long.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of business, a move that Marvel may be planning on right now, from the inner workings talking at the, I don't know, within the company, is they may start pulling some of their comics who aren't owned by their movie studios. Big talk is in the works of them kind of putting Fantastic Four books on hold right now. As well as kind of already you've seen it with more of their promotion of Inhumans compared to X-Men books. And Inhumans being that new mutant place where they can have all these superpowered beings who are also persecuted and kind of putting X-Men on the back burner because those aren't owned currently by Marvel Studios. And it's a rumor that I actually think is going to start happening. I've already kind of been seeing it with reading Fantastic Four and kind of being like, where is this going? Solicits for September already have the Ultimate FF number 6 kind of saying this is the end. Now, granted, okay, they say that in almost all the solicits of will this be the end of them, who knows. But I'm starting to get this sense that this is more true than rumor. So what are your thoughts on X-Men getting kind of pushed back?
Well, they're killing Wolverine.
That is true. Maybe they will keep it. Fuck yeah, because they don't want them to make another movie over there at Fox.
Yeah, I mean,
what if they kept him dead for long enough that they would have to somehow do some time traveling within an X-Men world to explain how Wolverine is alive now?
Here's the one thing, though, where I can't buy into it. They Fantastic Four, I wouldn't be surprised to see, but I'm strictly guessing. But I'm guessing the numbers on Fantastic Four haven't been through the roof lately. I mean, I think they're successful and it continues to do okay. But every once in a while, they'll yank shit down just to boost sales on it when they bring it back. You know, because number one, sell.
True.
You know, so that might be it. For them to actually, they aren't going to pull X-Men.
Well, yeah, they're not going to totally cancel, because that would just be dumb in and of itself. You can't just all of a sudden wipe away an entire nation of mutants
to
198 of them or something like that. But
yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I mean, like, you think about it. There's got to be, at least half a dozen, like, X books out there that are team books. Not to mention the fact that you've got the Cyclops, you know, solo. You've got two Wolverine solo titles, which obviously those will continue.
But what you will start to see is when they are still having those X books, you're going to see a lot more pushing of Avengers books during those times, though. Marvel is going to be...
They've tried.
Shoving... Well, yeah, and that's what you're going to start seeing, though, a lot more of that even.
I don't know if you can have more Avengers or more X-Men books than they already do.
True.
Although they are coming out with a new Storm book.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
But now here's the other thing. Where I don't believe it. You think Marvel would actually get rid of Spider-Man?
See, that was the one that I thought of, too. I'm like, I can't see them, doing that.
They never will. They never will. And I mean... Somebody would, Stan Lee would walk down there and bitch slap him if somebody did that. You know?
Well, but okay, how about this though? Spider-Man's okay because that is where the Fantastic Four is with Sony. So, mm-hmm. And Fox has Wolverine and X-Men. So, yeah,
That's,
don't know.
That's why this theory that they're going to, I don't buy the theory. I can see them doing it to boost comic sales, pull something down and, bring it back. But yeah. Anyway, that's topic for another day. Quick other shit, I guess, that we should mention.
The shits.
Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Ooh, awesome!
So this is the Justice League movie that everyone's been talking about.
Well, no,
because they couldn't even do an original Batman versus Superman. They had to throw in Justice League within it. That's just too much for me.
I don't see the necessity to have an extension of the title name.
No. I mean, like,
I understand if in a sequel and you don't want to use 2, 3, 4, which you should use, but like Transformers Dawn of Extinction.
Yeah.
You might call it Transformers 4. Not.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know why they just didn't wait and then, like, just do your normal Batman versus Superman movie. And then at the end of it, Sam Jackson walks into the Fortress of Solitude and goes, "Hey, we're going to put this thing together. You should be on it." That
asshole,
motherfucker. But that's about all there is on that one.
Here a couple quick ones, man. Derek, I know you were looking for a copy of Action Comics number one. A guy selling a whole bunch of old comic books he collected since the 80s. It's up for sale on eBay, so you can get online, look for that. There's also a Flash 1 and Detective Comics 15, so you've been pinching your pennies.
Comics 15 or 27?
That too.
Okay.
Yeah, both of those are for sale.
Because Amazing Fantasy 15.
15, yeah.
So
it's there. Good luck, happy bidding, okay?
Yeah.
Another quick one I'll throw out there is another new character in the Archie world, which I think is always a big deal. You guys are rolling your eyes almost loud enough right now that the listeners can almost hear the...
That's how rolling our eyes sound like.
I should really clean my eyes.
Your eyes probably not so much because you got a bunch of crust in there from but anyway the new character is called Harper, cousin of Veronica. And she's a disabled.
She's in a wheelchair.
She's in a wheelchair. Yeah, and but she's bringing. She's got attitude.
And she's hot.
Yeah, she is. So another new. And they don't. Again, they don't introduce a whole lot of new characters in the Archie world. Kevin Keller was the last big one, and that took off really well. So
it's going to be a third wheel for Archie.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Wow!
Who's got the next?
Yeah,
any other news to discuss?
Wonder Woman is getting a solo title, digital first for DC. So that's
good.
That's worthy of mention. And that's coming out in August. And Gail Simone's going to be writing it. So that was the last thing that I had that I just wanted to throw out there. If somebody didn't see it, because especially with digital first, you're not going to see it. Necessarily sitting at the comic shop till later.
One other quick thing that I just found. So it is mentioned that Thanos will be showing up in Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie. So one last Thanos tidbit for you.
Meh.
All right. It seems like it feels like infinity, you know, for the amount of times that you're going to talk about Thanos today.
Just got to watch out for all those news.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm about to throw down the gauntlet, and let's do a little Indie Turnpike.
Oh, that was a gem.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no, that I have to give a shout-out to my cousin, because we had a little too much fun.
Your cousin doesn't have a name?
Yeah, Jason.
Okay.
Yeah. He the other night, we had a lot of fun on our Twitter feed with all of the puns on there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, listeners. If you're not following us on Twitter, do so. That was priceless, what was posted a couple days ago.
Well, and what I liked, though, that my cousin did was, he's like, he goes, damn it. He goes, I wish I wouldn't have been asleep. I missed the pun cast. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So, all right, Indie Turnpike. I have got this week Trees, number one, from Image Comics, and it is written by Warren Ellis. Jason Howard did the art on it, and Phonographics did the letters.
In all seriousness, it is kind of a serious question, but not really. Is this anything like The Happening with the trees killing us? M. Night Shyamalan and Ding Dong?
No.
Okay.
No, nothing at all. In fact, these trees... I'm not going to go too much into this book. As far as the basic story is concerned, these trees are aliens.
So they're Groots.
I don't know. Basically, all of a sudden, found out that the thing I liked is there's a line in here where Warren Ellis basically says, you know, at such and such time, we found out that we were not the only intelligence in the universe. Problem is, this other species didn't consider us intelligent.
Oh.
And these trees are trees, from what I can tell, are basically like legs or like stands for whatever ships or whatever are up above. It's just kind of like they just boom, boom. It's these giant things that just came down in the middle of fucking cities. I mean, giant. And they're anchors almost into the earth. It's actually kind of a terrifying idea that, you know, when you think about other species and intelligent life and all that, we always think of things kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy or Inhumans or whatever, where they're all human-ish. What if these things are like, you know, the size of Ohio? Like, I mean, you don't, like, we never stop to think that, and that kind of freaked me out a little bit. Art by Jason Howard in here is really cool. I
think that freaking cover is pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just the whole book. Howard's got a little bit of a scratchy style in this one, and I like it. And it definitely seems to flow a little bit from different parts of the story where all of a sudden, you know, the colors are a little bit different, adding a lot more emotion where necessary. So overall, really solid book. There's a lot of shit going on in here, so I'm not even going to try and give any of it away because I really don't want to spoil this. So, but I would recommend picking it up. It's number one, so it's as good of a jumping on point as you're going to get. So that pretty much does it for that.
All right. Well, let's. You got a booze and a book for us?
I do.
You even want to talk about booze? Jeez.
Yeah, I've consumed all of it this weekend. no, booze and a book, once again, brought to you by our good friends Ink Whiskey, where you can go get your own Nintendo cartridge entertainment flask. Go check them out at inkwhiskey.com. And smart enough, I actually... actually, maybe not smart, but I used the shit out of that thing this weekend. but anyway, this week I've got giant size Spider-Man. One shot. They could have gone annual, but they didn't. They went one shot from Marvel. And this has a number of different artists on this book. Scott Koblish, Giancarlo Carcuzzo, Francesca Siregia, Elena Casagrande, Tim Seeley, and written by the amazing Mr. Joe Caramagna. There's actually a number of different stories in here. There's, you know, Behind the Mask, The Vulture, Doc Octopus, and The Sandman. And these are all, you know, the old school kind of, basically like, some of the origin stories.
Fighting these bad guys?
Yeah, but there's little twists that are thrown in. I don't know. It's a really cool look. What I'm pairing this with, actually, is a Yingling traditional lager. And that is, for people that aren't familiar with it, it's brewed in Pennsylvania. And... It's an American Amber red lager. It's 4.4%. It's the America's oldest brewery. And it's one of those beers that's been around forever, kind of like Spider-Man. And even when you go back to the originals like they did in this one, it works really well. So it's just solid, solid beer, solid book. And I could read this thing about five more times. It was $5 for four stories. Grab a sixer of some Yingling and have fun.
Sorry, West Coast people.
Well, sorry, Michigan. We got to go out of state to get this.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Definitely, it's all over the East Coast.
Yeah, but all right.
Anyone with the last 2 weeks got a couple extra books you wanted to throw out there for last call?
There's a couple. I have a fucking stack, which I'm not.
Yeah, you guys, man. We blow through so many.
Yeah, I only have a couple that I just want to mention. You Need Number 7. I still am loving this Valiant team up. Like I said, I've never really cared for Valiant books before until now, and it's great to have multiple characters and a team. Iron Man Number 26, which just came out this week. I'm just loving this story with the Mandarin Rings. It's just making for an awesome run. Really sad to see Kieran leave the book, but... Hopefully he wraps it up on a high note. And then from last week, Translucid, number 2 came out. And you kind of get to see a glimpse in the past and what's kind of going on and to see the horse in the past.
Yeah, last week, man, I tell you what, last week was one of the best weeks of the year for books for me.
Oh, yeah, it was really good, really good.
excuse me, guys. Yeah, Amazing X-Men number 7. I picked it up. Just I haven't, you know, I read like the first issue, maybe the first two, but this was a fun throwback with Spider-Man and his amazing friends. You know, so you've got Iceman, Firestar, and Spidey in that issue. So that was definitely worth a grab. Daredevil's still killing it. Magneto tied up the miniseries. Tony, you haven't gotten to this one yet, have you?
No, I got it, but I haven't read it yet.
Oh, my God. Such a good one. The Bunker, number four. Tony, I know your favorite book that now you're all caught up on the trades for Saga.
I will say that I still got a lot of books I need to read.
Oh, my God. You just got to, seriously, you should sit down and just read it today. So good. But Saga number 19 came out.
Yeah, it's a good day to be indoors.
Yeah, it is. And then Rocket Girl and Southern Bastards, number two. Those were all definitely deserving of a mention. There were a lot more, but those were the top.
Yeah, I got, let's see, Red Lantern, 31. It's just off of story arc of Final Judgment, which is ties into the Red Daughter of Krypton. This is, I really enjoy what they're doing here. Charles Soule, no big surprise.
Yeah,
he's pulling off another one.
Dude's a genius.
And fucking Star Trek. I'm really liking these. Now, of course, we just kind of backhanded slapped two part story arcs with the Twilight Zone, but I think it actually has been working with Star Trek. I pick up last. The story arc is called I, Enterprise. They started a new one with Star Trek 33 called Lost Apollo. I think they got something going on here if you're a Star Trek fan or just a science fiction fan. Really cool. Really cool character ideas in nice. Here as they visit a new planet.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it for me.
Does it for me. I think I need to recoup still from
the night. Yeah, how are you going to do that today?
By reading Saga and laying on my couch and then maybe falling asleep while trying to read it.
You can't fall asleep while reading Saga.
Yeah, you're going to ruin your books, man.
He doesn't care, like, at this point. Like, you know,
he's we got one holding up the table, make sure it's level.
Yeah.
There's, like, two that have fallen behind your toilet.
All right.
Listeners, check us out, drunkoncomics.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and
the Twitters and the Facebooks and
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah. Yeah, we got you know what's terrible? I just thought about it. We're a fucking Motor City taking pictures of anything. We didn't anything post a goddamn thing on Instagram.
Oh shit. That's about the most useless thing we have, but well, we have it.
I thought Matt was the most useless thing we have. Oh wait, he's not here.
So we can say that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Keep reading your books. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them again then. What lies inside the ghost of Christmas future? Touch the painting as it peels. So leave the home.